You probably saw this in the news, but it's been a few years. It's 2019. There was a man that was giving a commencement address. Those are really exciting, aren't they? You've been to a graduation and sat through a commencement address? It's like the most boring part of your life, isn't it? So there's a man, a billionaire in 2019, by the name of Robert F. Smith, who was giving a commencement address at Morehouse College up in Atlanta. And I'm sure, I don't know, I haven't listened to the entire speech, but I'm sure that this commencement address was like any other commencement address, and I'm sure everybody was having a good nap, right? I mean, that's what you do. You're looking at your watch. I mean, you're like, when is this going to be over? He got to the end of his commencement address, and this billionaire said to these graduates that he had just been talking to, who hadn't been paying attention to what he was saying, he said to these graduates at the end of his lesson, at the end of his address, "I'm going to pay off all of your loans." And he wasn't kidding. He paid off every one of their loans. You know how they reacted? I mean, here were graduates. I don't, you know, how much debt do college graduates take? Sometimes it's a lot. And so they're looking at the possibility of paying off their student loans for the next 10 years or more. And they just were told by a billionaire, "I'm paying off your loans," just like that. And so they went crazy. Some of them started crying. Some of them started shouting. Some of them fell down on their knees, didn't know what to do, because they had a debt fully paid. We've had a debt fully paid that makes college loans look like nothing. We've had the understanding of what it means to have a debt forgiven of us. And so this morning, I want us to think about the thrill that those graduates had, the thrill of having their loans paid off. This morning, I want us to think about our debt being paid off. I want us to be reminded today of the thrill of forgiveness. I know you sit here today, and most of you here today are New Testament Christian. You've been forgiven of your sins, and that's something you understand, but I'm guessing that some of us have lost the thrill, the understanding, the exhilaration that we ought to have when we think about we've been forgiven of our sins. Not by some billionaire standing up and making some kind of commencement address, but by the Son of God. Those graduates could not contain their excitement when they heard that news. Are we containing our excitement about being forgiven of this most monumental, this most eternal debt that anybody could ever have? This morning, I want you in your Bibles. I want you to go to Luke chapter 7. We're going to look at these last verses, this last account in Luke chapter 7. And I want us to use this morning to help us to see here's how much we need to be thrilled about the forgiveness that we have. Before we get into it, we're going to spend most of our time talking about this woman who encountered Jesus, this woman who was one-on-one with Jesus and had this encounter. We're going to talk about her in just a second, and we're going to spend most of our time looking at what she did. But let me just give you a couple preliminaries here, okay? We just need to set the stage, kind of give some background information, then we're going to jump right into something we need to learn about this woman. A couple things. In Luke chapter 7, you're reading about a woman who comes and washes Jesus' feet. And sometimes we're reminded, you know, I also read about that over in Matthew chapter 26. There was a woman who came and washed Jesus' feet and anointed his feet and washed his feet with her tears in her hair. We read about it in John chapter 12. Same thing as Matthew 26, this woman who comes and washes Jesus' feet with her tears in her hair. But here's something we need to understand. There are two different washings, okay? What we're reading about here in Luke chapter 7 is a completely different woman, completely different washing than what we're reading about in John chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 26. I know sometimes we read, oh, it's a woman, it's washing Jesus' feet, anointing. We think it's all the same thing, but there are two different things. How do we know that? Well, they're in two different places. What we're reading here in Luke chapter 7 is inside of a Pharisee's home, up in Galilee, what you read about in John chapter 12, was in a leper's home down in Bethany. Two different places. You got two different people. Luke chapter 7, this woman is called a woman of the city or woman in the city. She has a certain reputation about her. John chapter 12, different woman. This is Mary, a friend of Jesus, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. So different place, different people, different purpose. In these washings here in Luke chapter 7, we're going to see that this woman's coming and washing his feet out of just absolute love for Jesus, having been forgiven of her sins. But in John chapter 12, Mary is washing Jesus. She's anointing his feet. Jesus says, she is doing this for my burial because he's getting ready to die. So two different purposes going on there. And then you just, between these two, it's just completely different time frame. In John chapter 12, it's the night before Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Remember the story of Jesus riding in Jerusalem on a donkey? That happened on Sunday. This is the night before that happened. Sunday, and then he's going to die on Friday. That's his last week of life. Here in Luke chapter 7, this happened at least a year before that ever did. So sometimes we might combine them. Just information. They're two different washings. Second preliminary thing to understand here is that this woman had already been forgiven of her sins. Sometimes we might read through this. We might think she's coming and washing his feet. She's doing this in order to get him to forgive her of her sins. But if you read through the text, she's not doing it in order to get Jesus to forgive him. She's doing it because there was some account. We're not given it in the Bible. We're not given a lot of things that Jesus did and said. But there's something that transpired between Jesus and the woman prior. She had already been forgiven. So she's coming at this moment and responding to her forgiveness. How do we know that? Look at a couple verses here. Look in verse 37, where the Bible says, the Holy Spirit tells us that she was a sinner. Past tense. She wasn't a sinner then, but the Bible uses a past tense, meaning she always was. It's an ongoing past tense verb there. She was always a sinner before this. But there's something different here. But even better, and not all translations will note this, but if you drop down to verse 47, Jesus says, I know in King James, New King James, the terminology that Jesus uses here is that this woman's sins are forgiven. But the tense that Jesus uses here is actually a Greek perfect tense. It indicates they already have been forgiven. Her sins have already been forgiven, and they're still forgiven right now, but they've already been forgiven in the past at some point. And so when she comes and is washing Jesus' feet, this is a response. It's a response of her love. And so note the little parable that Jesus tells here. Verses 41 and 42. Jesus says, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he forgave them both freely. And so Jesus asked the Pharisee, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? What's the story? Jesus says, here's a man who forgave somebody. And Jesus says, who's going to love him more for being forgiven? Why does he tell it that way? Because her sins had already been forgiven. And what she's doing on this occasion is expressing her love to Jesus. You may not find those points of interest or need, but those are kind of some preliminary thoughts that we've got to have in place as we step into this encounter that Jesus has with this woman when she comes into this house to wash Jesus' feet. This year, we're trying to walk with Jesus. That's our theme this year, is walking with Jesus. And as we've been doing that, we've encountered a number of different occasions in the life of Jesus. Sometimes we have stepped into one of his miracles. And we've noted Jesus' miracles were merely a step in order to help us to have a greater understanding of his purpose in doing miracles. Sometimes we've just looked at events that Jesus encountered and things that happened, episodes in his life. Sometimes we've had teachings. Remember, we've sat down for those, and because in New Testament times, the teacher would sit down And so we've looked at some of his teachings. And next Sunday, we'll do that again. Look at some of Jesus' teachings. But the lesson this morning is like the one we had in John 3. It's like the one we had in John chapter 4. Where in this lesson today, Jesus is one-on-one with the woman. And he's one-on-one with Simon the Pharisee. And there's indication that there are other people here as well. But I want us to think about being one-on-one with Jesus in Luke chapter 7. There's other people around. But Jesus has a one-on-one encounter with this woman. And then he's got a one-on-one encounter with Simon the Pharisee. And as we talk about this morning, I want you to be thinking, which one am I? Am I more like Simon the Pharisee? Or am I more like this sinful woman? The point here is, how do I respond to being forgiven? That's the whole point. Remember the introduction? Those graduates being thrilled at being forgiven. How do I respond? Do I have the thrill of forgiveness today? Or, ho-hum, yep, I've been forgiven. All right, that's nice. Or is it still deep in my soul that I've got something I don't deserve and I need to live it out every day, not just on Sunday? But it's got to be embedded in my soul in everything that I do. So let's talk about this woman. And let's look at this woman and the overflowing response that she has to being forgiven. Remember, she's already been forgiven before this episode. But the overflowing response that she has to being forgiven. What happens when we are forgiven? What are we being forgiven of? We've committed sin. We've committed acts that are in violation to the law of God. God told us what he wants, and here we are. We are breaking the law of God. That's what sin is, 1 John 3 and verse 4. And our sin has consequences. The Bible says our sins separate us from God. They'll separate us here, and they'll separate us from all of eternity. And so what can we do to save ourselves? On my own, I can't do anything to save myself. You know what I deserve? The wages of sin is death eternally in hell. That's what I deserve. But Jesus came along. And Jesus went to the cross. And Jesus died for me. And he extended to me the opportunity to be forgiven of these dumb sins that I've committed myself. Not somebody else did it to me. I did it myself. And Jesus died so that I could be forgiven. This overflowing response of this woman helps us to see that we need to have a deep appreciation for just the thrilling aspect of being forgiven. He's taken my sins away. What does that mean? I'm not separated from God anymore. Do I have that thrill? What happens when I'm forgiven? Jesus comes and he takes my sins and he removes them. Though your sins be as scarlet, Isaiah 1 says, you'll be as white as snow. He removes them completely from me. And when God removes those sins, does he remember them anymore? Hebrews 8 and verse 12 says, he doesn't just remove them and tuck them. Well, David's going to need these again. Yep. I don't want the sins to go too far because he's going to need them. Yep, here he goes again. Here you go, David. He forgets. He does not remember them anymore. You know that in Hebrews chapter 1 or Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 12, that our sins and our lawless deeds he remembers no more. But listen to these verses from the closing verses of Micah 7. Here's what God was telling these Jews if they would just turn back to him. Here's what he said he would do with their sins. Micah says to God in Micah chapter 7, 18, who is a God like you? No God like you. Who's a God like you? Pardoning iniquity, passing over the sins of his people. He does not retain his anger forever because our God delights in mercy. He doesn't want you to have your sins. He delights in mercy. He wants above everything else to get rid of your sins. So verse 19, he will again have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. He will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. so that we don't have to deal with them anymore. We need to have an appreciation for what it means that God has removed my sins from me and he doesn't remember them anymore. And not only that, he rescues me. Here I am guilty for my sins, not somebody else's. Here I am somebody who has committed these sins, and he rescues me from the penalty of those sins. The wages of sin, it's death. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, in Christ there's no condemnation. You know what I deserve for my sins? Condemnation. But when I've been forgiven, I don't have any condemnation. Shouldn't that thrill me that I'm not condemned in the eyes of God anymore? Shouldn't that thrill me, Colossians 1, verse 13, that I've been transferred out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love, and I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and I've got full forgiveness? First thought I want you to think of is, what was this woman thinking? Did she not have a deep appreciation, a thrill? I've been forgiven. I never deserved that, but he forgave me. Now I want you to see what she did. In this text, we don't see this woman saying anything to Jesus. But have you ever heard this expression? Actions speak louder than words. She may not have used words in Luke chapter 7, but her actions speak louder than words. And so not only do we learn from her to have a deeper appreciation for how thrilling it is to be forgiven, but we learn from her that when we're forgiven, that needs to get embedded in our soul so that our response is not something that we... It's not something, well, I have to do this. I've been forgiven. No. I've been forgiven. And deep within me, there is just a natural desire, not a forced desire, a natural and overflowing desire to show my Lord. And I've got the word appreciation up here. And if you're taking notes, you can write that word, but maybe a better word there, because it's the word from Luke chapter 7, to show the Lord how much I love him. How do I show the Lord how much I love him for forgiving me? Look in Luke chapter 7, and we're going to spend most of our time right here, and then we're going to finish the lesson. How do I show him? What does this woman do? This woman is willing to say to Jesus, you have forgiven me? I'm so thrilled about that. I'm so overflowing with love that you've forgiven me. I'll do anything. Would you say that? She says, I'll do it. What would she do? Look in verse 37. What did she do? She comes in to where Jesus is. She brought an alabaster flask, the end of verse 37 says, of fragrant oil, and she stood at his feet behind him. In those days, they would have been at a low table, reclined on their left elbow with their feet tucked behind them so they could eat with their right arm, usually, right hand usually. Their feet are behind. So she's not in front of it. She's not even willing to come in front of it. She's behind Jesus where the stinky feet are. She stood at his feet. What's she doing? She's overcome with emotion. She doing something she hadn't. No, I'm willing to do anything. She's overcome with emotion. She began to wash his feet with her. What? What's she using? Tears. She's wiping his feet with what? Did she bring a towel from home? She's wiping her feet with her hair. Would you do that? She says, I'm willing to do anything. She kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Here's a woman who is so thrilled to be forgiven, she will do anything for Jesus. I know what some of us are just going to sit here and we're going to listen to this lesson. Okay, David needs to get done with this lesson because it's already 11:08 and we're past time. Can we let this sink in for a minute? Am I willing to do anything because Jesus has forgiven me? She's overwhelmed with love for the one who's forgiven. And she says, you know, I'll do anything. Not just that I'll do anything, I will step outside my comfort zone. You think she's outside her comfort zone? She has stepped into a Pharisee's home. That's not a comfort zone for anybody. She's there. She hasn't been invited. She's not an invited guest to be there. She's come into this place. She's got a reputation. She knows she's not wanted there. She steps outside of her comfort zone. Why? Because she loves Jesus. She's thrilled at the idea of being forgiven by Jesus, and she wants to show him out how much she loves him. Do we ever step outside our comfort zone? Answer the question. Am I willing to step outside my comfort? Why would I? Because I love Jesus. He's forgiven me. Why? You know, I don't know. There's people I know, and I know I need to talk to them. I know I need to invite them to church. I know I need to, you know, give them something from the church. I know I need to pick up one of these cards for Friends and Family Day. I know I need to pass it out, but boy, that's just not me. You think this woman was a feet washer? You think she was a woman who just went around to anybody and wiped people's feet with her hair? That's not me. But for Jesus, I'll do anything. You think she went around just pouring oil and ointment on anybody's feet? No. But I'll step outside my comfort zone for Jesus. Will we do that? Boy, I'm not good at talking to people. You think she was good at wiping somebody's feet with her hair? Wiping somebody's feet with her hair? We've got to step outside our comfort zone. We've got to talk to people. It may be even in this room. We have guests here this morning. Thank you for being here. We're so thankful you're here. But right here, sometimes we get a little anxiety. Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure I need to go. I don't know if I go talk to them. I don't know what to say. Say, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming. But step outside of our comfort zone, even in our comfort zone. Why? Because I've been forgiven. I love Jesus. And if I love Jesus, I'm willing to do anything. What does that involve? I will do even what nobody else is doing. Anybody else in that room washing people's feet? Jesus was a guest in this house. His feet had not been washed. Supposed to be. Nobody else washed his feet. She was willing to do what nobody else had done. Am I doing that? Well, you know, I don't really see anybody else at Palm Beach Lakes, you know, doing this or that. You know, I'm not sure that anybody else is. I know Jesus wants me to do that, but I mean, I'm looking around. There's not many. Wait a minute. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Here's this woman. She's not looking. Oh, well, nobody else washed his feet. Never mind. I'll just leave. No. She's thrilled at having been forgiven. She stepped outside of her comfort zone. She said, I don't care if anybody else hasn't done this. I'm going to do this to show him how much I love him. Are we zealous, burning for good works in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14? I'll do anything for him. What does that look like? In Galatians chapter 1, we find this application. Here was a woman who did not care what other people thought. She did not care what the critics were saying. What did Simon? So here she is washing feet. Look in verse 39. The Pharisee who had invited Jesus, didn't invite this woman. He saw this. He spoke to himself, and here's what he says. This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. Simon didn't know that her sins had been forgiven. He says, she's a sinner. Here's a woman of the city. She had a reputation. Do you think she knew what everybody else thought about her? Yeah, she didn't care. She didn't care what the critics thought. She didn't care what the naysayers thought. She's going to show Jesus how much she's only interested in pleasing the Lord, and that's it. That's Paul in Galatians 1 and verse 10. He says, I can't please people and please the Lord all at the same time. Her actions are speaking louder than any words she could possibly say in this one-on-one encounter with Jesus. She's willing to do anything for him. She will gladly take on the lowest task for Jesus. Not just washing his feet, kissing his feet. Would I do that? She's willing to sacrificially give whatever she has. Why? I love the Lord. I'll give what. And so she brings this costly, what we would think of it as perfume, okay? She brings this costly perfume. Does she just? What do you normally, if you wear perfume, I hope you do, what do you normally do with your perfume? How much do you put on? What did she do with it? What she did with it was what a guy did, I'm confident, what a guy did that I flew with a few years ago, sitting right next to me on a plane. I believe he had anointed himself with it, with his cologne. I mean, there wasn't anything left in that bottle. He probably used 5 or 6 bottles because, I mean, he had it all on him. I mean, but that's not the way you apply cologne, right? Hopefully. All right? You just put a little on, right? So that the bottle still has some in it for next time. She brings the whole bottle. Costly. Doesn't matter. Why am I going to hold anything back for me? Is her mindset. I'm going to give it all to him. Do we hold anything back? Do we have the thrill of forgiveness? What would those graduates have done for Mr. Smith, that billionaire? What would they have done to show their appreciation for him? Would they have stepped outside their comfort zone? Would they have done any of these? Would they have sacrificed even something for him to show their appreciation? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says that God loves a cheerful giver. That's not just what we put in the baskets on Sundays. That's about our entirety of our life. Finally, I want you to think about this woman. The Bible does not say, nor should we think, that she's there to worship Jesus. But the Greek word proskuneo means to kiss toward someone, and to do it, as it were, from a prostrated, at least in heart, a prostrated position. Is she in a prostrated position, down at his feet, kissing his very feet? She doesn't care what other people are doing that day. She's ready to worship. At least show her reverence for the one who forgave her. Oh, I can't do that. I can't go with you on Sunday. Maybe another time. I got to go to church on Sunday. I don't got to go anywhere on Sunday. I get to. Psalmist says in Psalm 95 and verse 6, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That ought to be us every Sunday. We'll go Sunday morning, but I'm not going to go Sunday night. We've got other things to do. Come. I've been forgiven. What would I not do for my Lord for being, if the saints are assembling, I'm going to be there. If there's somebody I need to talk to at the grocery store, I'm going to talk to them. If there's a coworker who's hurting, I'm going to say, hey, we're going to pray for you at church. Why? Because I love the Lord. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. You know why? Because he died for me. It's everything that Dan read in presiding at the Lord's Supper this morning. See from his head, his hands and his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Or thorns compose so rich a crown? We see his love on the cross. I've been forgiven. What does he see in my love? What does he see in my love? Does he see it in return? Look at what Jesus says about this woman down in verse 47. She has loved much. Can I ask you, would Jesus ever say that about me? Would he ever say that about you? Would Jesus ever be struck? Wow, look at how much David, look at how much, put your name there. How much he loves me, how much she loves me. I've been forgiven. I ought to be thrilled. I shouldn't be like that Pharisee. We're not going to dwell here, but I want you to see the contrast. You see that woman who's just overflowing in response to forgiveness, and then you see this man who's empty over here. She's expressing her love in the very best and most expressive ways that she possibly can. And this man over here, what does Jesus say about him in verse 47? You love a little. Yeah, you invited me into your home. I guess you get credit for that. Does he understand the gravity of sin? Does he understand the thrill of forgiveness? Look at what Jesus says, and then we're going to close. Look at what Jesus says to him. You want to see the contrast between a woman who would do anything for him, overflowing and thrilled for forgiveness, and a man who's empty? What does Jesus say about him? Look down in verse 44. Jesus says to him, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. Did you show me love? No. You gave me no water. You're supposed to wash my feet. You're supposed to serve me. I'm a guest. You didn't serve me. You gave me no water." Look in verse 45. "You gave me no kiss." This woman, she can't stop kissing my feet. "You gave me a kiss, a common greeting. You didn't even shake my hand." The common greeting that day would have been a kiss on both cheeks, but you didn't even shake my hand. You didn't even greet me when I came in. No affection. Look at verse 46. Here's this woman. She's anointing my feet with oil. You didn't even give me oil. And that day, as a sign of honor to a special guest, they would have anointed their head. And he says, you didn't anoint my head. But this woman, she can't stop anointing my feet of all things. You gave me no honor, no service, no affection, no honor, no water, no kisses, no oil. Why aren't you doing any of that? Look down in verse 47. Why aren't you doing any of that? Because you don't have any love. She's loved much. You know why she's loved much? Because her heart is full of gratitude. It is full of thrill of being forgiven. Simon, you don't have that. You're empty. You're not showing any gratitude. You're not showing any love. Why? Look at what Jesus says. You gave me no. Which one of these is us? I've been forgiven of my sins. He's taken that separation away. He's removed it from me. He's rescued me from the penalty that my sins deserve, that I deserve. And this woman's just overflowing. She can't do enough for him. And this man over here, ho-hum, no big deal. If I do something, I'll do something. If I don't do something, no big deal. Which one is us? In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, Peter wrote to a group of Christians and he said, "You know what? There are some of you who have forgotten. You've forgotten that you've been cleansed from your sins." Could that happen to us? Could we forget? We know it. Of course, you know, I was baptized, I got saved, I'm a member of the church, of course I know. I know it, but if I'm not living like this woman, maybe I have forgotten. Forgotten the thrill of being forgiven. Imagine being one of those graduates, Morehouse College. You were looking at debt, and I'm going to have to pay this off all of these years, and all of a sudden, just like that, it was gone. Can you imagine the thrill of that being removed? What would you have done? Your sins, if you're a child of God, your sins have been taken away. Amen. What would you do? Does that not thrill your soul? To walk out of here and say, "You know what? I'm not here on this earth to live life for me. I'm not here on this earth to just have a job and go to work. I'm not here on this earth just to go to school and to get an education. I'm not here on this earth to do this or that. I'm here because of Jesus Christ, and I'm here to walk with Him every day. And if I'm a child of God, I'm going to be thrilled that I'm forgiven, and everybody around me, like this woman, everybody around me is going to know how thrilled I am to have been forgiven by my Lord." If that's not you, what do you need to do today to get it right? The Bible tells us what we need to do in order to be forgiven. Jesus says we need to believe that He's the Son of God. To look at those sins that are separating us from Him and say, "Whoa, I don't want those anymore." To repent from those sins, turn away from those sins. Say, "I want to serve God instead." If you're ready to make that decision today, you can confess the faith that's in your heart. And you can do exactly, not what the Church of Christ says, not what some preacher tells you to do, what Jesus says to do to be forgiven. Repent and be baptized. Mark 16:16 says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's what the one who wants to forgive you said to do to be forgiven. If you've never done that, do it today. There's water, garments, towels, everything's ready for you to do it today. That you might be raised from that water to serve Him, walk with Him, faithfully. If you're not where you need to be, with our Lord Jesus. Get right with Him right now as together we stand and sing.